Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear the shooting, you're done tooting. That Quaker makes the ones, shot some guns.
And say, fellas and girls, the tender crispness and delicious nut-like flavor of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice really hit the target when it comes to taste. Cover them with milk or thick yellow cream and sliced bananas or other fruit for a mouth-watering breakfast treat. Remind Mom to get Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat tomorrow for sure. The second time John Rudyard's circus came to Dawson, it was a full-scale production. And instead of playing at the music hall, a large tent went up on the flats north of the town. Rudyard advertised clowns, acrobats, tightrope walkers, bareback riders, trained dogs, and even a wild animal act. Kit Carver's cats and Ganges the gorilla. The cats were two tame old tigers, and Ganges was only an orangutan. But Dawson, starved for entertainment, was prepared to accept the billboard's claims without question. And on the opening night, the great tent was jammed. After the grand parade, the first of the star acts was announced.
Ladies and gentlemen, now performing on the high trapeze in an amazing exhibition of endurance and death-defying skill, the Great Roar!
High up near the top of the tent, the great Rowl hung by one hand. He began to swing higher and higher until he was making a complete circle around the bar. Once, twice, 10 times, 20, 30, 40. A human pinwheel high above the crowd.
Count the revolutions, ladies and gentlemen. 48, 49, and 50, a new world record.
Now the acrobat was standing on the bar, acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Then suddenly he seemed to fall. Actually, this was the climax of his act. After the first shock, the audience could see he was hanging to the end of a rope. His fall was stopped abruptly. But only for a second. He lost his hold, dropped the final 30 feet into the sawdust, and lay motionless. Instantly, he was surrounded by the circus attendants and John Rudyard, who was acting as ringmaster. The crowd roared. Sergeant Preston, who was just outside the tent, hurried inside. When he reached the fallen man, someone was applying a splint to his leg. The sergeant saw at once the acrobat was still alive and turned to Rudyard.
What happened?
Hello, Sergeant. It's Rob. He drops from the trapeze, hanging onto a rope at the end of his act. He must have lost his grip.
Who's the man attending him?
He came from the audience, said he was a doctor.
I'll have a word with him.
Easy, Doc. Easy.
That does it.
How is he, Doctor?
His right leg's broken. I put on a splint.
So I see.
Oh, my back.
A wrench, perhaps. There may be internal injuries as well.
Is it possible to move him?
Well, for a short distance, on a stretcher.
Roger?
I'll have one brought.
Jack, Charlie, a stretcher.
Yeah. I'll see that he's taken to the hospital.
My cabin's near here. He could be taken there.
Are you a qualified physician?
Of course. I'm Dr. LeGrand of New York City.
You're not practicing in Dawson?
No. Other business brought me here to the Yukon. But I'm perfectly qualified.
I'm sure the doc knows his business. Have me taken to his cabin, John.
Whatever you say, Ralph. And whatever the expense, I'll attend to it, Doctor.
There'll be no charge.
Here's the stretcher.
I'll lift him gently, man.
Yes, take it easy. Oh.
Great Raoul was placed on the stretcher and carried from the tent, waving a hand in response to the audience's applause. The sergeant accompanied him to the doctor's cabin, then returned to the circus where he found John Rudyard in his office, a small tent adjoining the large one where the show was still going on.
Oh, you're back, Sergeant. I have something to show you.
This rope?
Yes. It's the one Raoul used in his drop from the trapeze. You see this knot near the end?
Yes.
Raoul's trick was to wrap the rope around his wrist and then grasp the rope with his hand above the knot, like this.
I see.
He has a tremendously powerful grip. He's taken that drop hundreds of times and never lost his hold. But tonight, well, feel the rope just above the knot.
Slippery.
Grease.
I didn't notice any grease on Raoul's hand.
A very little would be enough.
Are you trying to tell me the fall was no accident?
I'm not sure. And I'd like to be, one way or another. I'm not saying that someone's deliberately greased the rope. A little could have got on it accidentally. At the same time, I'm afraid...
Of what?
Well, I don't want to, but I feel I must confide in you.
Please do.
There's been bad blood between Raoul and two other members of the troop.
Who?
Terry Connor, he's the high wire man. And Kit Carver, the animal trainer.
Any reason for it?
In Terry's case, Terry took on a new partner this spring, a beautiful little girl named Tina. You may have seen her in Dawson.
She's Mrs. Connor?
Now she is. The marriage took place just before we came up here. Raoul wanted to marry her, too.
But since Terry was the lucky man, what possible reason could he have for trying to harm Raoul?
For a time, it seemed that Tina would marry Raoul. There's such a thing as jealousy, Sergeant, even when there's no reason for it.
Go on, what about Carver?
He's a strange case. He seems to hate everybody. Raoul and he have come to blows more than once.
I'll have a talk with both Terry and Carver.
Good. Would you... like to use this tent?
Why, yes, please. Will you send them here as soon as they're through in the ring?
I shall, Sergeant. You understand, of course, I'm not making any accusation.
I understand. Any accident should be thoroughly investigated if there are possible motives for murder.
After the performance, the sergeant interviewed both Terry Connor and Kit Carver in the owner's tent. Terry was first.
Your name? Your real name, please.
It's Terry Connor.
You ever had any trouble with Raoul Farnham?
Yes, I have.
Serious trouble?
I've told him that if he didn't stop annoying my wife, I'd break his neck.
He very nearly broke his neck this afternoon.
It would have been good riddance if he had.
I'm told that the equipment that's used in his act is stored in a tent that's also used for dressing rooms.
That's right. My own equipment's stored there. I get what you're driving at, Sergeant. The word's gone around that grease was found on that rope he uses for his drop. I didn't put it there. This morning I promised Tina there'd be no violence between Raoul and me. When I give a promise, I keep it.
I'm glad to hear it. That's all, I think, for now.
Okay, Sergeant.
Kit Carver, a big man with heavy black eyebrows, was more antagonistic.
Sure, I've had trouble with Raoul. I hate him. And I hate Terry Connor.
Why?
Because they laugh at me. Raoul used to say the only reason I use a gun in the ring is to keep my cats awake. And that I ought to put Ganges on a chain, get myself one of those organs and grind and start playing for pennies.
That sounds like a joke.
Yeah, not the way Raoul says it.
Does Terry Connor laugh at you too?
Oh, he smiles.
Is that all?
It's the way he does it. Then he hears me telling about how I used to work half a dozen tigers and lions in the same cage. He smiles. It's like saying I'm a liar.
I'm interested in Raoul at the moment.
I didn't put grease on that rope. I can prove it. Ganges was sick this afternoon. I was with him every minute up until showtime. Tina Connor can prove that. She was with me, helping me. I didn't have a chance to touch Raoul's equipment. You ask Tina. She's a thoroughbred. She deserves somebody better than Connor. I'll talk with her, Carver.
That will be all.
All? You're not accusing me of trying to kill Raoul?
There have been no accusations made. That will be all.
Sergeant Preston completed his investigation by questioning all the men who had handled Raoul's equipment and found no evidence of deliberate tampering. He visited Dr. Legrand's cabin once more and assured that the broken leg was Raoul's only injury, made a routine report. But he returned to the circus the following evening and was talking with John Rudyard at the entrance of the main tent when tragedy struck. Terry and Tina's act had just been announced, and Tina was preparing to start out on the high wire.
They must have changed their routine.
No? How's that?
Terry usually works first, and then Tina. Then they work together. She's going to do her solo spot first tonight. Pretty, isn't she?
Beautiful.
And kind. Why, even that ape of Carver's loves her.
Oh.
There she goes.
The wire broke as Tina stepped out on it. The girl hurtled to the ground. When they reached her, she was dead, her neck broken. Terry Connor picked up the limp body of his wife and carried her into the dressing tent. John Rudyard immediately called off the rest of the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the performance. Your money will be refunded at the entrance.
Rudyard.
Yes, Sergeant.
I want all the equipment dismantled at once. Have it brought to your office.
Right.
Naturally, it was the broken wire that Sergeant Preston examined first. And the faint discoloration on either side of the break told the complete story.
Acid.
You were sure?
Positive. Few drops was all it took. Ate into the wire.
But Terry always tests the wire.
Stood the test, but the test weakened it still more. And when she stepped out on it...
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes. That's the right word for murder.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. I wonder what would happen if I went into an eating place up in the Yukon some morning and said to the fellow at the counter, "Well, let me have a bowl of Quaker puffed wheat, please."
Command the guns! Explodable!
Did I hear you say...
Hey, what you fretting about, mister? Didn't you want that there breakfast cereal shot from guns?
Well, I sure did, but...
Well, that's what you're getting.
Oh, thank you. I was just a little surprised that you folks up here in the Yukon knew that Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice is the breakfast cereal shot from guns.
Sure. Everybody knows about them premium flavor-rich grains of Quaker puffed wheat and rice being exploded up to 8 times normal size.
Right. That makes them bigger and better tasting, with bang-up nut-like flavor, too.
Well, guess that's why they're so popular with folks around here.
Why, you can't beat them. Every time you pour out a heaping bowlful, put on some milk or cream, and top it with fruit, you've got a super delicious treat.
You're right there.
And did you ever hear how nourishing they are?
Reckon I ain't.
Well, Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
A right good thing for folks to know.
You bet your life. You get this swell nourishment in the delicious, flavorful, tenderly crisp cereal that just melts in your mouth. The one and only Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. As the crowd left the scene of the tragedy and the word murder was whispered among the performers and roustabouts, a hush fell on the circus lot. The first man who was called to the office tent was Kit Carver. The animal trainer was crying as he faced the sergeant.
Try to control yourself, Carver.
She was so pretty and so good.
You ever watched the high wire act?
I watched it every night.
Did you watch it tonight?
Yes. Yes, I saw it happen.
Notice any change?
Change? Oh, yes, yes, I know what you mean. It should have been Terry who went out there first. He's the one who should have been killed.
That's exactly what I'm driving at. Whoever applied acid to that wire may have meant to kill Terry instead of Tina.
And I wish they had.
You admitted to me last night that you hated Terry.
I do.
Do you realize the position that places you in?
I'm not the only one who hates him. There's Raoul.
He's lying on a cot in Dr. Legrand's office with a broken leg.
Oh, there must be others.
I want to know how you spent every second of your time from the moment you left this tent last night until now. Start talking.
The sergeant grilled Carver for more than an hour and took down all of his answers. Then he dismissed the animal trainer, who still protested his innocence. The sergeant had a word with Dr. Mundy from the hospital.
I have certified the cause of death. A fracture of the cervical connection.
A broken neck. But the real cause was a drop of acid.
Will you need me any more tonight?
Why, no, Doctor. I'll let you know when the inquest will be held.
Sergeant, the animal trainer?
He's under suspicion. That's all I can say now.
The sergeant questioned everyone connected with the circus that night and only reached one conclusion, that many people had a chance to tamper with the wire, but that only the animal trainer had an obvious motive for murder. Still, there was no direct evidence against him, and it was impossible to make an arrest. The following day, the coroner's jury brought in a verdict of murder by person or persons unknown. After supper, the sergeant locked himself in his office to study the notes he had made during his examination. The great dog King lay at his feet, happy to be near his master, but hoping that he would soon be through with his work inside. The hours passed slowly. It was nearly midnight when someone knocked on the door of his office.
Yes?
Miss Mundy.
Oh, just a moment, Doctor. Come in.
I don't like to bother you, especially since this doesn't have anything to do with the case you're working on. But I'll be busy tomorrow.
I was just about ready to call it quits for the night. What's on your mind?
It's about Dr. Legrand.
Oh, yes, the man who set the trapeze artist's leg.
One of our new nurses was at the inquest this afternoon. She recognized him.
Yeah?
His real name is Garvin. They stopped him from practicing medicine in California about 5 years ago.
I see. Then he shouldn't be allowed to practice here.
Well, he isn't exactly doing that. As I understand it, he isn't accepting a fee for taking care of the circus performer. What's his name?
The great Raoul. Raoul Farnham, actually.
And setting a broken leg, there's nothing to that. I'm not protesting about this Garvin or Legrand's professional activities here. It's something else. Nurse Warren says that she thinks he's wanted for a bank robbery in San Francisco.
That's so?
There was a picture in the San Francisco papers a few months ago. A man wanted for robbery. A man who was identified as Harry Mason. But when Nurse Warren saw the picture, she was certain it was Dr. Garvin.
The nurse believes Harry Mason, Dr. Garvin, and Dr. Legrand are the same person?
Yes. Would you like to have a talk with her?
Very much. Would it be possible tonight?
Oh, well. She's nearly 12, but she didn't get off duty until 11. Well, I don't see why not. She's staying at the palace. Would you like me to take you there?
Yes, please. Come on, King, we're going for a walk. And about time, he says. All right, boy, come on.
Just as they reached the Palace Hotel, Dr. Mundy and the sergeant met John Rudyard coming out, struggling into his suit coat.
Well, good evening, Sergeant, Doctor.
Anything wrong with the circus?
Yes.
Not another accident?
Carelessness, sheer carelessness. Ganji's cage wasn't securely locked and he's escaped.
The gorilla?
Well, let's be honest. An orangutan.
Is he dangerous?
Well, he could be if he were annoyed in any way, but I'm sure we'll find him in the woods beyond the circus. He wouldn't come into town.
Want me to come with you?
No, we'll find him. And Carver will have no trouble handling him.
I'll see you later.
The sergeant and the doctor entered the hotel and inquired for Nurse Warren's room at the desk. It was on the fourth floor toward the rear of the building, and they climbed the stairs. Just as they reached the dock corridor on the fourth floor, a scream shattered the silence.
That could be Miss Warren.
It came from the next to the last room.
420 is her number.
Could be. Yes, this is her room.
Warren, what's the matter?
The door is locked. We'll have to break in.
On the bed. Nurse.
I'll light the lamp. Fainted?
She's coming to.
There are marks on her throat.
Finger marks.
The window's open. I'll take a look out. 30-foot drop to the ground. No one below.
Oh, doctor, it was terrible. Terrible.
What happened? Quickly.
I can't believe what I saw. I woke up. In the moonlight, by the window, I saw a man. At least I thought it was a man, but as he started toward me, I realized it. A beast, doctor. A great beast, an ape. I screamed, and then he leaped at me, and his claws like hands, cold like steel, they closed around my throat. I screamed once more, and that's all I remember. Is it really gone? Was it a dream? A nightmare?
No, nurse. There are marks on your throat to prove it wasn't a dream.
Oh.
The gorilla, Sergeant?
From her description, it would seem to be.
This is the fourth floor.
There's a drain pipe that runs up the side of the building, only a few feet from this window. Be no trick for an ape to climb it. Man could do it.
But it must have been the ape.
You stay with the girl, Doctor. Come on, King.
The sergeant took a look at the roof first. There was nothing up there. Then he and King descended to the first floor and left the hotel. The ground was hard directly under Nurse Warren's window, and there were no prints near the drain pipe. But the sergeant circled the building, hoping to find some tracks he could point out to King. There were none near the building, so he started toward the stables. At last, he found something, and as he knelt to examine it, the doctor joined him.
Have you found his tracks?
This looks like one of them. Oh, is the nurse all right?
She's fine. She's a sensible girl.
Good thing. Here, King. Take a good sniff. Fine, boy. Follow the trail.
King led the sergeant and the doctor into the alley behind the stable, and then through one alley after another, heading toward the outskirts of town.
He's leading us to the circus grounds.
They're in this direction.
The instinct of the gorilla, Sergeant. He was frightened by the nurse's screams and the noise you made breaking into the room. Now he's heading for home, where he knows he'll be safe.
Perhaps. It may be.
Now King turned out of the alley he had been following and into a street that led directly to the circus.
Here comes John Rudyard.
So it is.
Ready, sir, over, Sergeant. And he's back in his cage.
Well, I hope it's securely locked.
It is. Don't worry. As a matter of fact, he was already locked up by the time I arrived.
But that's impossible. You were running down the street as we entered the hotel. And at that moment, Ganges was climbing a drain pipe up to the fourth floor.
Why, that's nonsense.
Ask the sergeant.
Did Ganges come back voluntarily, or was he found?
He was found. Do you know where?
I'd like to.
At the edge of the forest where we buried Tina this afternoon. He was mourning over her grave.
I see.
Sergeant. How could he possibly have been there and at the same time, well, practically the same
time... There's no point in guessing, Doctor. King's following a trail. Let's see where he leads us. Go on, boy. Come with us, Rudyard. This may prove very interesting.
King trotted straight down the street until he reached the door of Dr. Legrand's cabin. There he stopped and looked up at the sergeant.
Good boy.
Legrand lives here.
Legrand? The man Nurse Warren recognized?
Let me do the talking in here, please, Doctor.
Yes? Oh, Sergeant Preston.
We've come to see your patient, Doctor.
Well, it's rather late.
If you don't mind.
As soon as King was inside, he headed straight for a trunk sitting in the corner, and then turned to look back at his master.
Good evening, Raoul. That's your trunk in the corner?
Yes, I had it brought from the hotel.
I suppose it's filled with costumes as well as clothes.
Well, now, keep away from there.
Yes, costumes. And what's this one on top? Well, so sometime in your career you've dressed up as an ape. Perhaps as recently as tonight.
But what are you talking about?
Dr. Mundy, I'd like you to examine Raoul's broken leg.
No, I have my own doctor. I don't want any others messing around me.
We've learned that your own doctor was disbarred in California. You should have the services of a competent physician.
Keep away from me.
You keep your hand away from that pillow you're covered, Raoul. I'll take that gun. Now, Dr. Mundy, if you please, examine the leg.
Yes, Sergeant. This leg has never been broken.
That doesn't surprise me. How do you explain your diagnosis at the time of the accident, Dr. Garvin?
Sergeant, I'm ready to make a full confession.
Keep your mouth shut.
No. I had no idea you were going to get me mixed up in a murder.
Go right ahead. Say whatever you want to. Raoul can't stop you now.
All right, it was this way. We knew each other in San Francisco. I'm wanted for a bank robbery there. Raoul said he'd turn me in if I didn't help him with a little plan he had.
And the plan was?
He was going to fake an accident. And I was to tell everyone he had a broken leg.
Which you did. And as a result, all of Dawson thought he was helpless, confined to his bed.
But he didn't tell me why he wanted people to think that.
But you've found out since.
Yes. The same night he was brought here, he went back to the circus and he did something to the wire the Connors used in their act. As a result, Tina Connor died.
It's supposed to be Terry.
The act was changed. Go on, Dr. Garvin. Why did he dress up in an ape suit and try to murder Nurse Warren tonight?
Try. He didn't do it?
He was interrupted.
Thank heavens.
Go on.
I knew Warren recognized me this afternoon. I told Raoul the game was up. That she'd surely go to the police and I'd be investigated. He said he'd shut her up.
Oh.
I found out her room number at the palace. He took that ape suit and went there tonight.
Didn't he go to the circus first and set Ganges free?
Yes, that was so the ape would be blamed when they found her strangled.
You have a twisted mind, Raoul.
Connor was the only one I wanted to get.
But murder breeds murder, and after you'd killed the woman you loved, one more killing didn't seem to make any difference.
I wish I was dead.
That's a wish that's sure to be granted. And in the judge's words, may God have mercy on your soul. This case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Hooray, says Mother, when she discovers there's one cereal the whole family likes to eat.
And that's Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
The youngsters go for them because they're the ones shot from guns.
Yes, actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them extra crisp and tender as nuts in November.
And Dad reaches every time for Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice because he likes the taste of those wholesome, natural, flavor-rich grains of premium wheat and rice.
In every family, some like their cereal not so sweet, some like it real sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
These natural grains are uncoated by factory sweetening.
Your family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
And Mother is always glad when the family sings out, "Second helping, please." Because every bowlful gives them added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
So mothers, discover the way to treat the whole family right at the breakfast table.
Get delicious, nourishing Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Look at your store window tomorrow for the big red and blue packages with a sealed inner lining that keeps Quaker Puffed Rice and Wheat as crisp as can be. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for orders, sir.
Sergeant, do you know John Edwards?
Why, yes, sir. He owns a freighting company.
That's right. His sleds are being looted by a gang of masked robbers.
I see.
The mounted police depend on Edwards to get supplies to and from Beacon City. Sergeant, your job is to stop the robberies and catch the criminals.
I'll do my best, Inspector.
The leader of the holdup gang has already murdered one man who has guessed his identity. Sergeant Preston doesn't know that a seemingly harmless handyman may be the most dangerous killer he has ever encountered. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Say, fellas and girls, if you want to grow big and strong, eat Quaker Oats often. You get more strength, more energy from oatmeal than from any other whole grain cereal. So tomorrow, start eating delicious Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.